Center City Planning Board meeting, May 22nd, 2018.
This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice and pursuant to the New Jersey Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press, the Current, and a copy of the same has been posted in the bulletin board in the municipal building. Let's all rise to salute the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tucko?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Landgraf, Tom Hauser.
Mayor's here.
Oh, Mayor's here. Pardon me. Absent are Tom Halpin, Jay Cook, and Wendy Bartlett.
First item on our agenda is adoption of the May 10th, 2023 minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, yes.
Any changes, amendments? Could I have a voice vote for approval?
I make a motion.
Second.
Oh, make a motion. I messed up. Sorry about that. Can someone second that?
Second.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The next item is the adoption of resolutions. First one is P21-2023 Robin and Charles Cutler, 5701 Ventnor Avenue. The second resolution is P22-2023 Surrey Beach House LLC, 109 South Surrey Ave. Has everyone had a chance to review those resolutions?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. They have a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, before we go to the first application, I would ask that Leo swear in our engineer planner.
Sure. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the first application is Herbert and Marcia Spivak.
Good evening. May it please the board. My name is Andrew Miller, and I represent Herbert and Marcia Spivak concerning the property at 105 South Nashville Avenue, Block 6. I'm sorry.
Before you proceed,
yes.
Are you licensed in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Could you have your witness
sworn
in?
Sure. Mr. Spivak, is that your only witness tonight?
Yes.
Just state your name for the record. I'll get
Herbert
you sworn in.
Spivak.
And you're 105 South Nashville Avenue?
Yes.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. We're here this evening to obtain a certificate of nonconformity for a long-standing basement apartment use at this location. Mr. Spivak and his wife have been the owners of this property since 1968. In 1968, three sisters became the owners of this property. In 1970, a license was issued for the use of the basement apartment. And in your packet, you'll see a series of records that we were able to obtain from the city of Ventnor City showing periodic licenses, inspections, etc. In 2000, after 52 years of partnerships among these three families, Mr. and Mrs. Spivak purchased the interest of the other two families, became the complete owners. We learned recently that when that transfer occurred, we should have applied for a certificate of nonconformity at that time, and that was an oversight. We're here tonight to correct that. I don't think there's any question but that there's been a continuous use since 1970 at least, probably since 1968, of the basement apartment use, and we simply seek a certificate of nonconformity for that. If Mr. Spivak is called to testify, he will testify to that continued use, and I welcome any questions that you have for Mr. Spivak. His hearing is a little challenged. He just celebrated his 90th birthday.
So. Congratulations.
Very nice. Very good.
So we're happy to...
You don't have to yell. Talk slower.
I have a question.
Sure.
In your documentation,
yes,
the last rental license application was applied for in 2015. Were any other licenses applied for rental after 2015?
Did you get a license since 2015?
Not that I'm aware of.
Roman, may I?
It was actually.
Could you speak closer to the
other owners?
You have to speak into
the other owners were operating the house. We shared it mostly in the summertime, but they're the ones that actually operated the house, or did the repairs, and did maintained it and so forth. And I don't know if there was, if there wasn't.
So after you took over in 2020, you did not rent it, but you still had the apartment?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that after 2016, the city stopped issuing rental licenses. That's probably why.
Okay, okay. That makes sense.
Thank you for that. I wasn't aware of that.
So you, in back in 1970s, you had a... certificate of nonconformity? You said you had gotten it when there were multiple owners, right?
I'm not certain that there was a certificate of nonconformity in 1970. What I am certain of is that the use was a lawful use in 1970. I don't know what the zoning was in 1970. I think the zoning was more permissive back then.
Could be, but
yeah,
there's no documentation. No documentation that you have.
If the first, the Exhibit 2 in my package shows that there was a license January 21st, 1970, and that's from the city records.
Roger, do we know what the test date is, test year?
I didn't see it on here, but I do see it was appraised right around that same time, January 21st, 1970, so that
yes,
probably prompted that.
It could be. My communication with the codes office, everybody was very helpful to me, and that's the information that I got when I began to dig into this problem, that the first application was in 1970.
Right.
For a rental housing license.
That is a two-family dwelling.
Yes. Yes.
Any other board members have any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to open it up to the public. Anyone in the public that wishes to speak about this application, please come forward. I see no one coming up, so I will close the public portion.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Board members, anything else? Then I'll ask Leo.
I think look at this, if you could.
Yeah, I think we need to have a little further discussion on this, on the record. The test date at the very latest would be 1978, I believe. That's when the changes to the zoning ordinance changed. Looking at this, all this data is between 1968 and 1970. I just want to look at the property record card. It does indicate two units and last sale based on January 21st, 2020. property record card that shows the appraisal back in 1970, as well as one before that in 1968. So there must have been something in that time frame to prompt the second appraisal within 2 years. And I think it's a sale of the, or the use of the property. And it is checked. It's a two-family dwelling on the upper left, on a building description of value calculation. And also, the meters, which is the water meters, indicates two units, so there's two water meters. And those water meters, I'm sure, probably predate 1978. Does the board have any further discussion?
I'm looking at these, and I'm not sure. Registration renewal for 105 South Nashville, Unit WS. That's the last one I see there. It's 2015. And then it goes all the way back to 2011. And this is, it's a shame it's not dated. The rental license, 2011. Okay, so that goes all the way back to there. What I guess I was looking for was something that went back to the early 70s on it.
So prior to 2011, the whole family was using the property,
so
correct?
It was rented. Yes. Okay.
Right.
But it was still two units.
Still two units. That's what I took from the conversation, was all three different family members that had an interest in the property.
You have, they have two electric and water bills and all that?
Yes.
Okay.
It appears it's been a two-unit structure going back in time, whether it's rented or not.
Yeah. Was it that way when you purchased it, Mister?
Just talking to the microphone.
It was unfinished space when we took it over. It's actually, we call it ground floor, but it's only one step down from the pavement. There was rooms there, but it was not finished, nor were the bathroom finished. It was just an old rundown area.
So are you saying there was a kitchen and a toilet in the basement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so there was, the areas were there.
You don't have to go, oh,
yes.
That's
yeah.
The answer.
Yes, please.
And when was that ground floor basement area, when was it finished?
What is that, sir?
When was that area finished?
20 years ago or so. It's been so long, I can't really tell you exactly when. At least 20 years ago.
When you said when you took it over, you mean in 1968, when your family group bought it, that's when you renovated it?
We did not do it in 68. It was a little bit after that. So when time flies, when I said 20 years, it's probably 40 years, to be honest with you. You know,
I know the feeling.
I don't know.
Right. So, I'm trying to just understand. When it was purchased,
one unit.
There was just empty rooms there?
It was empty rooms. There was partition. There was not a finished bathroom. There was not a finished kitchen.
When you say not finished?
It was a room.
It was a room.
I don't think there was, I don't recall, but I don't
even
think.
Plumbing was there and all?
Yeah, no, I don't even think there was plumbing.
Okay, so it was just
there.
A vacant space.
I think we created a kitchen.
Okay.
And I believe, and, yes.
Quite a number of years ago.
What's that, ma'am?
Quite a number of years ago. That's what you're saying.
What's that?
No, many years ago. Many years ago.
A lot.
A lot. Okay.
A lot.
Is the property record card from 1970 shows two units.
Yeah. Right. So.
But I'm confused by the applicant's testimony saying he finished it when he took over the house.
Right.
Is the upstairs all one unit? The upstairs is one unit. It's not divided in any
way. It's all one unit.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess the dates are just a little fuzzy, that's all. Yeah. But because what I go back to is a property record card. 1970.
I didn't even see that on there.
Yeah.
It's
couple pages.
Couple
in.
Pages in. It's the one with the sketch of the floor plan on it.
Mm-hmm. In the glass, I guess.
So the question I have is, and I just want a yes or a no answer.
Number of apartments.
Prior
tenants.
To an application
tenants.
In 2011, the family used the basement as an apartment. Yes or no?
Fine.
Yes.
That's all it would be. Thank you.
So it has its own separate entrance?
Yes, we have. There's an entrance and an exit. There's two entrances.
This is what floor?
Yes or no? Good.
Yes.
You do have one certificate of occupancy in the documents, which is dated August 31st, 1990, which indicates the occupants of the rental unit.
And what was the test date for this? Did we decide?
It's 78? August 31st, 1990.
That's
the CEO.
No. CEO.
Test date. I think Roger said 1978.
At the latest.
So, Mr. Zubak, what we're trying to show is that when we say test date, that's when our ordinances became effective. When the city of Ventnor in 1978 said, all right, duplexes or two-unit apartments are not allowed in that zone. So if you existed prior to that, then you're allowed to get the certificate of nonconformity. As long as you continually use that space as a second unit. That's what we're trying to get out of you guys to prove to us. And honestly, normally we get a little bit more than what we're hearing. What helps me a lot is the property record card from 1970 that shows a two-unit dwelling. A two-family dwelling, excuse me. So that helps. But typically you have something that says a continuation of the history each year that said that apartment was occupied. Didn't have to be rented, just occupied by somebody. And that's the hurdle I think some of us are trying to get over here. Dan, you had something that might help us?
No, I just wanted to get the test year. What's the test year?
We think it's 78.
78.
At the latest.
Well, in that one in 1970, it also said it was two apartments.
Correct.
And two tenants.
Right. Correct. So that helps me a great deal.
It just seems like something's missing.
Yeah, it does.
Like utility bills?
Utility bills. Did you talk with our construction code official or our zoning officer, Jimmy Agnesino, about any of this when you're putting this together?
I talked to him about the entire case.
Okay.
And he initially provided me with a number of these documents.
All right.
And then the office provided me with the rest. And I got this distinct impression that there was no question as to...
Okay.
In the codes office as to the continued...
Carmela, were you involved in this at all? Any of that?
Jimmy did not give us a test year. I did go through the files and I gave him everything that we had that was
okay.
in there.
What, just so we don't, I almost want to ask to hold this over until we can speak with Jimmy and let these guys get us some of these utility bills. Historic, you can get them from the electric company and the city can provide you with the bills as well for the water department.
Right. I think the water records are part of the package.
Is that the water and sewer?
Yeah, that's sure.
But that's only to 2011.
That's what I got from Mr. Agnesino.
Right. So when we say the test year is 78, we're not getting there.
Right.
That's our problem.
Are those records available that far back?
That's a good question. I don't know that the water and sewer bills are available back that far, but electric company typically? Yeah, I don't know.
Have we determined that they're separate meters? Because if it was a family shared space...
There's 2 meters. There's apparently 2 meters.
Well, is that more recently, or would it go back to when they were, you know, maybe just splitting bills or something?
Would it be okay if I asked my client that question for you, Herbie?
Yes.
Are there 2 meters at the building?
Yes.
And have there always been separate meters?
As far as I can remember, yes.
You know, you could also go to, they won't let you in anymore.
That's a pain.
You can call the county library, and they will do research for you. There are books down there that they have to go back into the 60s. And they would do the research for you, and they would give you a report. I did one recently, and I can get that information for you.
I have another question for you. The 1970 record card indicates you had oil heat. What type of heat do you have now? Is it natural gas?
What is that?
What kind of heat do you have?
It's gas heat. It's not air. It's gas, water,
okay,
radiators.
At some point in time, your oil tank must have been removed and your gas was installed. I guess what I'm getting at is that if the gas company came in there and they put 2 meters in there, do we have a date for that?
Right. The house has historically not been used 12 months a year.
I believe there's only 1 meter.
Well, how do you...
Summer home?
Yes.
One gas meter?
Herbie?
Yes.
Does the basement have its own heat?
Yes.
And what is the basement
heat? I believe it's electric.
And when you told the board that there's heat, that there's gas heat, is that for upstairs?
No, that's for upstairs. That's
Excuse me, what
gas, water.
Electric.
Okay. Yeah.
Gas and, yes.
So the electric company.
They're saying there's two.
Yes.
Two electric meters.
Okay. I think we're a little short on information. I would ask if we could. Would you mind if we want to get this right? We don't want to deny it.
Sure.
We'd rather work with you to give us a little more information. They need notice for these, right, Neil?
Yeah. We won't make you re-notice, but.
You guys agree with that?
I'm not
there.
Come back in a couple
weeks? No, absolutely.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm happy to provide you with whatever I can.
Okay.
Sure.
I think you've heard enough that you know what you have to come back to get the result that you want.
Sure.
So,
And I would ask if, Carmel, if we could have Jimmy chime in on this, if he has thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible Jimmy has some information that pushes the test year closer to 1990
right.
or something, because I know some of the R7s are 1990.
That, yeah. That'd be helpful.
And that makes your job even easier. And we do have the benefit of someone who actually lived in the property or has owned the property since 1968, which oftentimes we don't have. It's someone new trying
Correct.
To piece stuff
right.
together. But if the board...
It's not urgent that you need this meeting.
No, in fact,
right.
Mr. Agnesino was very kind. He said that these proceedings don't affect this year's... It don't affect current rental by this family.
Right.
Next time,
okay.
When you want to sell it.
So,
why don't we... Is the next meeting okay? June 14th? Does that work? And okay, so come back June 14th, supplement with whatever you can, and the applicant will not be required to republish or re-notice. We'll continue this on June 14th.
Are you clear as to exactly what we need to see?
I think I am.
Okay.
Can I submit prior to the hearing the documents, or do I have to wait for the hearing?
You would preferably beforehand.
Ideally, they should be on file, and ideally 10 days in advance, but
sure.
but whenever you can get them.
Thank you very much.
With that being said, maybe would the second meeting in June be more beneficial for you?
We only had one meeting in July.
The 14th of June, okay for you?
That's it.
Then we go into July.
Another hearing?
Yeah.
Sure.
We have four on in June.
14th is fine.
14th is fine, okay. And hopefully, we'll have you in and out of here.
Need a motion?
Same time, is that on the Monday? It's the same? What day is the 14th?
It's Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Wednesday.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We can call it that.
Okay, the next application.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Is that of James and Karen Pearlstein at 107 South Pittsburgh Avenue.
He didn't say that, he could have. He said 20 years ago, that doesn't help. And then he said, well, maybe it was 40. So, all right, who we got? Nick.
Does anybody need a copy of the report?
Yes, I do. I don't mind. We have to print it out, Roger, sorry.
Uh-oh. I forget the print line out.
There you go. Thank you. Two of them.
Yeah, that's after the other case. I left mine in my car. Oh, good, I left mine in my car.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, forget that.
Thank you.
Losing it? I left my reports in the car, but I got an extra one, so we're good.
We can share.
I got this one, it's the...
Hello, are you ready?
We're ready, are you ready?
We're ready.
Swear in your professionals.
Let me introduce myself for the record, Nick Talvaki, Cooper Levinson, on behalf of the applicant, James and Karen Pearlstein. With me is Mr. Pearlstein, I'd like to have him do a brief walkthrough of the project, and then we'll have John Barnhart provide some additional information and planning testimony, if that's okay. Mr. Pearlstein, if you stand and...
Could you have, and also John?
John, yes.
Have everyone sworn in?
Okay, Mr. Pearlstein and Mr. Barnhart, why don't you each just state your name and address, or business address for the record, I'll swear you both in together.
Okay, James Pearlstein, business address, is what you said? 107 South Pittsburgh, if that's...
That's fine.
John Barnhart, office address, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
If you each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, before we get to John, I offer him a planning report based upon his prior qualifications by his board.
They're acceptable.
Thank you.
Mr. Pearlstein, so you have this house at 107, you've had it a while, I know you've done renovations in the past. Can you just walk us through what's there today, what you're proposing to do, and what you hope to accomplish?
If you do, please grab the mic on the chair in front of you.
Where are you?
In front, on this side of the rail. Thank you.
Just hold it in.
Can everybody see this? Not too sure.
Just hold the button. Button in. You can even move that microphone over.
Okay, first of all, thank you all for hearing this tonight. I bought this house with my wife at 107 South Pittsburgh, and we did a large renovation. I was here in front of this group. I recognize some names, some faces that are here. That was in, we bought in 2006, 2007, and then 2007, that summer, that year, we did the renovation. So this was a major renovation, this is how it looks today, right here. 10 years ago, we actually had another small renovation, we added one bedroom. And my kids are a lot bigger now, so it just kind of worked like that. But when we originally bought the house in 2006, the block was very, very different, and now it has a lot of large houses that are real high, and it's just you know, my kids are different age and different needs and things like that. So we want to do this renovation, which is pretty much accepting of the setbacks that we had originally, back 16, 17 years ago. And we just want to pretty much do two things, bring the plane of this area to the same setback that we had on the first two floors, And then in the rear of the house, put a stairwell next to a deck that would take us downstairs. So in summary, those are the three things. I think for the most part, you can focus on this area right here, which is different, which is conditioning the space. We're not adding any square footage to the property. We're just kind of moving things around. We're taking like a kitchen and living room and just kind of moving it upstairs, which pretty much everybody's kind of doing, so you can get these great views. And but with that, we're really not creating any more square footage or height. Correct, yeah. Yeah, I mean, John can speak to that.
It goes up a little bit, but it's still below the permitted.
But the same amount of bedrooms, and even this space that we're adding up here is really just open two-story space, because when we move the areas to the second floor, it would be a low ceiling if we didn't add that space. So.
Do you want to walk the board through the other elevations, particularly?
I'd be happy to. Whatever you guys want to see.
And Mr. Manos, these were not part of our submission package, so we probably should mark these.
Okay. What do you got, two boards?
Four.
Three? Okay.
Yeah, you can put them up here, Jim. Yeah. Why don't we, A1, 2, 3, and 4?
Okay. The A1 rendering, A2. East elevation. Okay.
This is the east elevation, which is pretty much the elevation that's getting the most change.
West to the south.
Max.
So this is kind of from the beach where the second house. So as you can see, this turret is going away, and it's being conditioned now with this area right here. We're also joining this deck and this deck. We're just joining it together here. We're eliminating a bedroom down here and making an open space. So this is a major change that we're making. But I can show you the other elevations too.
Jeff, you can put them on the easel and hold the mic if you prefer.
We'll call A3 the west and A4 the south elevation.
Fine.
Okay, the west elevation is here, and as you can see, it's very little change. We're actually eliminating an entry in the rear. As you can see, all this window lines are the same. Nothing's changing. This is not changing. This is not changing. It's just this one area, which is that turret that's going away, and it's going to be a double high space there. One more. And this is the South Pittsburgh Avenue elevation, which is the same as the rendering that you just saw. So we're eliminating that stair there. We're bringing this forward, eliminating this turret. All of this stays exactly the same. All of this line stays exactly the same. We're changing a door to two windows here, but for the most part, that's it. Yeah. All right.
Any questions of Mr. Pearlstein?
Just for clarification, on the east elevation, where you said you're making that one area to the right of the steps open space, did that just go right there?
No, it's like a cabana, kind of like a sitting, like just out. It's an outdoor space.
Okay, it's a covered
like a porch, covered
space.
Porch.
Porch. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
Chair, if we could, the space that you're converting from that outdoor turret, I guess you're calling it. Can you explain what that's all being used for?
Well, what we're doing. I think the
east elevation.
Yeah, I think the east elevation would be best to explain that.
Yeah.
So this area up here is open space. It's a two-story high space. Because really what we're doing is we're taking a kitchen and living room that's downstairs in the rear of the house and moving it upstairs to the front of the house on the beach side so we can get some views. So when we do that, we need to come above, this is only seven and a half, 8 feet here, so in order to do something like that, we have to raise the roof. So we're just going to raise it to match this, but there's nothing, there's no condition, there's no floor space up there. It's just a double high ceiling. Does that make sense?
It does now.
Okay. That's all this space right here.
Because I'm looking at the floor plan, I'm like, there's, it says open to below.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That had me confused. Thank you.
Excuse me, you are adding almost 200 square feet on the third floor.
Yeah, on the...
I see that that is all just volume space above the kitchen and the family room.
Right.
At the turn. But there is a...
There is...
Third floor addition.
Yeah, it's in plan. I don't have it on here, but... There is an existing bedroom up there. And we're opening up a little space in order to keep this roof line. We're matching that roof line.
Right.
So we're not demoing behind the space, but to match that roof line, we're bringing it over to Pittsburgh Avenue. And that's 200 square foot space. It's just kind of an open, it's got an open rail looking at the view.
Oh, down into the...
Yeah.
Is that the fitness room?
Yeah, fitness or desk, something.
I do want to mention that the third floor is still within the 75% of the second floor.
There's no indication as to how many square feet it is. I guess that is the first question.
Right, I did some calcs and it is less, substantially less.
Looks like it probably would have been.
What variances are the stairs triggering?
I'm sorry?
What variance is the stair triggering on the outside? Maybe that's a question for you.
Right. You're encroaching into the rear yard setback that they already got a variance for, so you shouldn't have that in that rear yard like that.
Got it.
I think it's time for John Barnhart.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, John, so qualified as a planner, I'm just going to ask you to walk through this. We've been through this twice on 07 and 12, so let's...
Okay, as Mr. Perlstein pointed out, this is the third time that we've been before you for renovations, major renovations to his property. If you recall, the site immediately adjacent to this, which is the oceanfront property, is a structure that came before you a couple of years ago, and a brand new, big, beautiful home was built on that property. When Mr. Perlstein bought this property, and then when he renovated, and when he renovated again, that lot had a one-story, nice little bungalow, oceanfront property, or oceanfront building. That condition has changed dramatically for Mr. Perlstein, and so now he's trying to accomplish kind of recreating some views and things that he now has lost as a result of that home being built, but still trying to do it in a fashion that stays within the confines of the ordinance as best as he possibly can. We think he has done a great job of that in his design, in that we are not changing any of the setbacks of this building, but for the one set of stairs that you mentioned, which I'll show in plan view. But all of the front yard setbacks of the building plane will remain as is. The two levels of porches are there now. They will stay. The space that you see on the second and then third level, that building wall plane right there that you see here is the same plane that you see here. So there's a little bit of space that gets added at the Pittsburgh Avenue frontage for that little porch area from the third level. And then this turret structure obviously gets closed in a little bit, or gets closed in to create the space that you see there. That's the Pittsburgh Avenue frontage. On what I'm going to call the right side, or the oceanward side of the building, you can see, you know, there is some additional area of building, as well as deck structure at the second level and a partial third level. But for the rear yard of the rear setback, all of that proposed construction actually complies with the land use ordinance.
So the only reason that we are required to come before you, in fact, I actually met with Mr. Agnesino at one point going through the various elements of the building, and we were considering even making certain concessions because we were so close to compliance in a number of locations. But then the decision was made, it was really starting to hurt the architectural appeal and design and aesthetic of the exterior, so Mr. Perlstein decided to move forward with the application that you have before you tonight. So the reason for the variances, there are three variances necessary. Front yard setback, because 12 feet is required, and that gray shaded area, the dark gray shaded area you see on our site plan, is space that's either currently open and being enclosed or expanded space on the second or third level, and because it is within that building footprint, because it is within that front yard setback of 12 feet as required, it creates a variance. That building wall at the second level is 9.65 feet. That building wall is going to be maintained at 9.65 feet. The second variance that's necessary is with regard to the deck structures that get roofed areas, which is the hatched space that you see on this plan. That back wall of that building has an existing setback of 5.95 feet. Again, that's a non-compliant setback. So because we're adding additional volume of building within that setback, a variance is created as a result of that space. Again, maintaining that same setback for that porch and the third level space, but because we are adding volume, the variance is created. And then the third variance is with respect to that dark shaded area that you see here at the top of the plan. That is a stair that gets you from the second level deck down to the ground. Yeah. It maintains a 3-foot setback, so there's still adequate space to get around the stairs, so you still have full circulation around the site, but it does require a variance in order to encroach into that setback further, just from the ground level up to the second story. So with an application like this, we're really not discussing a hardship condition, albeit he does have an existing structure and he's trying to work within the confines of the structure, but I think more appropriately here we would discuss these variances with respect to the C2. We believe that this is again, while it's already a beautiful house, an even more dramatic aesthetic enhancement to the property. We think that the variances that he is requesting were done tastefully. They're not overbearing on any of his neighbors. I believe that he's had conversations with his neighbors, which Mr. Tavakir, Mr. Perlstein can discuss at length if necessary, to make certain that what he is proposing does not create any negative impacts on his neighbors. I think an important thing to note here is Mr. Perlstein has been working within the confines of the original building footprint that he purchased in 2007, and he's done so in a tremendous fashion, in our opinion. But if you go clean slate and tear this building down, and you use your ordinance, your permitted ordinance requirement of if you go with all just ground floors, open space, and parking, and you start your building height at 9 feet above grade, you get 35 feet above that on a lot of this size. So it puts this building up at 44 feet high. With this building, as he continues to try to massage it to meet his needs, but utilize the existing structure, he's at, I think, about 37 feet above the ground. So he's approximately 7 feet lower than a new structure would be permitted to be on the lot. So I think by Mr. Perlstein continuing on with the improvements that he's proposing using the building that is there, I think actually provides a benefit to the neighbors in that it keeps the building lower. If he were to tear this building down, he's going to be dealing with your ordinance with regard to flood hazard standards. He's going to have to elevate the floor dramatically. He's going to end up having to use that ground floor space as parking and storage, like you see on most of this new construction, and it's going to put him in a larger height condition, which we think would be a greater impact than allowing him to, as I said, tastefully redevelop the property as he is proposing here. So we believe that the positive criteria is established from an aesthetic perspective. With regard to the negative impacts, is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan? I would argue, and zoning ordinance, I would argue that there is not, because the setbacks that he is proposing are existing and have been existing for many years and were granted by this board on prior occasion. He's just proposing renovations that require those setbacks to be re-granted once again.
Yes. Building coverage did go up slightly because you do have a porch on the side that is now covered porch, but it does still comply with the ordinance with regard to overall building coverage. Yeah, correct. And the lot coverage is we've removed a little bit of impervious coverage around the side and the back of the building to make certain that the lot coverage is not increased as a result of the application. So the second prong of the negative criteria, is there any substantial detriment to the public good? As I mentioned, we believe from our discussions with our client, he has talked to many of his neighbors. I believe he has satisfied their concerns. There may be other neighbors in the audience, which we will hear from. But keeping the footprint as he is proposing, I think, goes a long way to making sure he doesn't further impact the neighbors. And again, I think renovating this building as compared to tearing a building down and building a new building, while it might be compliant with setback, it would have potentially more mass with regard to its height. So I think this is a better plan. The buildings around him are all, at this point, pretty new. You've got a brand new house to the right of him on the oceanfront side, a relatively new house to the north of him, to the north and the east of him. So he's proposing to make these changes to fit in with what's around him, but kind of get back the views that he once had. That's all I have.
One of the questions we asked Mr. Perlstein at the beginning is if he had a chance to speak with his neighbors, and he did. And I could bring him up to just tell you, and I know they're not here, but he will testify under oath that he spoke to his neighbors and no one had a concern about this project. If that's okay, Mr. Chairman? Oh, I was asking if I
could repeat that.
Yeah, I wanted to just bring Mr. Perlstein up for a moment to let him tell the board that he spoke to his neighbors. Mr. Perlstein.
I thought a lot of my friends, they said they were going to come tonight. But I not only did I speak to them, but I shared plans with them and reviewed them. So neighbor to the east, which I have one, neighbor to the west, neighbor to the southeast, neighbor directly to the south, and neighbor to the southwest. All of them saw the plans and were obviously very supportive, so I don't see them, but.
Please, sir, not here to object.
I'm sure if they were about to object, they'd be here.
They absolutely. So anyway, I don't want to belabor the point. Mr. Barnhart concluded as a planner that there are benefits to the zone plan, better planning alternative in the fact that the height is substantially lower than what a brand new house would be. We are slightly below the building coverage, which, you know, goes to mass. And the setback variances, we think in context, are relatively minor overall. And I think the house is a nice improvement. Mr. and Mrs. Perlstein were here in 07, 12, and now again, and they just keep investing more money back into this property. So I think that's a good thing. So with that, we'll conclude our case.
Okay, before we open it to the public, which may or may not be here, I'd like to have our engineer planner give his report.
Just a couple questions for John real quick before I... So the front yard setback, you're proposing 9.65 feet?
Correct.
Okay. The dimension on the plan, on the architectural plan, shows 9 feet, and with the front yard setback of the deck being at zero, shouldn't that be...
Well, the existing decks are at zero.
Right.
But that front yard setback is proposed to maintain the same exact plane, right? Yeah, so it's 9.65 feet.
But the architecture plan shows 9 feet setback to that wall, and it looks pretty elevation. Is that you're maintaining that elevation, that front wall projection?
That front, yeah.
You know, if you look at the proposed first floor plan, existing first floor plan, it shows the exterior deck size as 16 feet 4 inches and 9 feet. You know, is that interior dimension? I just want to make sure that the...
So to answer your question, Roger, if I think I understand correctly, this is the front wall here, right?
This is the west
wall. Yeah.
That's not changing.
The existing, not the existing plane, that's the existing building wall, which is 9.65 feet from the front property line.
Okay.
That wall line is supposed to remain the same wall line.
So I think what Roger's talking about is on this plan, the floor plan, it gives a dimension of the deck is 9 feet. And if the deck is starting at the property line, there's a discrepancy in the width of either the deck or the face of the wall. It says exterior deck 16 foot 4 inches by 9 feet 0 inches.
It's the exact same plan. That's
okay.
Yeah.
I guess there's, maybe it's an, because the same thing has happened on the other side where it says exterior deck 16 foot by 6 foot, and on the plan it shows 7 foot.
The dimensions that are shown on the site plan are the dimensions they cover.
So that's what we should make sure that's in the record.
I just want to make sure. Okay.
No, that's a good question, Roger.
Good catch.
And also, you're basically changing open space on different floors with open space. You're creating the open space and filling in existing open space with rooms. So the actual floor area is really not increasing at all.
Yeah, there's an increase in volume, but the floor area space
correct.
Is nominally different.
And I counted the bedroom counts still the same.
Correct.
All right, I think that's pretty important. All right, just to go over my report, based on the application of James R. and Karen Pearlstein, 107 South Pittsburgh Avenue, Block 38, Lot 2, in Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering plan report seeking C variances, located in the R3 single family zoning district. They are in a firm zone X, however, new construction, they have to abide by the highest adjacent grade or construction requirements. And for insurance purposes, they are in effective zone B, which is based on a 1983 firm. This is complete and it is a substantial benefit variance as the testimony provided. Materials reviewed on bottom of page 1, contained on page 2, along with the renderings and surveys and variance plan. Project description, we don't have to go through that again, but Mr. Barnhart indicated and Mr. Pearlstein indicated what they plan on doing. So there are all three variances required, and they are front yard setback for the principal structure, whereas the required front yard setback is 12 feet. 7 feet exist to the closest portion, 9.65 feet exists to the setback portion, and that 9.65 feet is going to be expanded upon, so it's an expansion of a non-conforming setback. Rear yard setback to the principal structure, whereas the required minimum rear yard structure setback is 10 feet, 5.9 feet exists, and 5.9 feet is proposed. Again, that's an expansion of a non-conforming setback. They did receive approval back in 2007 and 2012 to encroach into that rear yard setback prior, but not for that portion that's being filled in. And lastly, the rear yard setback to the steps, whereas our minimum required minimum rear yard setback is 10 feet and 3 feet is proposed. And again, they are relocating, they're removing the steps that were on the westerly side and placing them towards the rear facing the beach side. And waivers requested are providing a landscaping plan. And the only request that I would have, and I'm sure the board would agree, that all existing landscaping must be maintained, including the shrubs that are in the public right away, but it appears that it's part of the building structure. I think that should continue. And I believe, I'm not gonna go through all my comments, we pretty much addressed that, and the third floor area is by definition much less than 75% of the floor below, so that's not a variance. And on the compliance plans, I think that the floor areas for each floor should be provided on those plans.
Sure.
And you can resubmit the architectural plans with that information on it as opposed to a variance plan. I think that should be part of the package so we can have a better understanding exactly what's happening on each floor. The description that you provided, it, to my opinion, is adequate. Again, when I reviewed this plan, you're creating open space where it's rooms, and you're creating rooms where it's open space,
but the actual exterior of the building is not being changed other than a third floor. But it's volume, not area. So that concludes my report at this time.
Have you had a chance to review the report?
Yes, we complete agreement.
Okay. One of the items, number 10, I thought was interesting. It said lot coverage is an existing non-conforming. Perhaps a better attempt should be made to reduce impervious in the beach block, which offers better recharge capacity. It's not going to be a requirement, but it's just something to think about, I think, as you know, as you work on the site.
Understood. Thank you.
Any other questions hearing our engineer's report and the presentation? I'll open it up to the public. Any comments from the public? No one's coming forward, so we'll close the public session.
One additional comment. On the site plan, the variance plan, would you indicate where the parking spaces are?
So Roger, they're at 9.65 where they're doing the work. Is there some part of the building at 7?
Yes, the bump out on the left side is at 7, but they aren't.
Bump out, gotcha.
You couldn't tell on the third floor whether it was in line with that or the other one.
Okay. All right, there's no more questions. I can frame a motion.
Just let me ask. Any board members, questions? You're complete, correct?
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Leo.
It's a C variance application. There's 3 C variances. We'll need a motion and a second. I'll run through them real quick. Front yard setback to the building. There is a portion at 7 feet, but the work that they're doing is at 9.65 feet, and the requirement's 12 feet. Rear yard setback of 5.95 feet, where 10 feet's required, and then a rear yard setback for the steps, which are at 3 feet, where 10 feet's required. We'll note a waiver from the landscaping plan, but one of the conditions will be that they'll maintain the existing landscaping on the property, and we'll also add as conditions that when they submit their compliance plans, the architectural plans will label the floor areas for each room, and the variance plan will label the parking on the property, and the other standard conditions we put in any resolution, subject to any outside approvals and subject to any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing.
We need a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mayor Landgraf?
I support the application. The addition is internal to the structure for the most part. Through not changing the footprint of the building, it is filling in some open space areas vertically, but I think the architectural plan shows that there will be an enhancement to that property. I am going to miss the turret, though. You can see that from the boardwalk, and it's kind of a landmark there, so you had to put a flag up or something. I know where the house is. And we're still below the building height. I think that's critical here. We're not going above that. He's trying to improve his property, so I support the application. I don't see any detriment. The neighbors aren't here to object to it, so I don't see any reason not to grant the variance. I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel.
My only concern would be the rear setback near the stairs. I think that in its favor, the pool fencing is not very high. If that's going to be remaining, that masonry fence, and that would be my only concern. From a safety standpoint, but I support the application. I think it is mostly an internal redirecting of the flow of the house from one direction to the other to gain views and open space and enjoyment. And for those reasons and the others stated, I'll support it. Yes.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also support the application. I consider as Commissioner Landgraf stated first, that they're all internal and they really are part of existing variances that were granted a long time ago. I think the proposal, the changes, is going to be quite a nice aesthetic addition to the area. And I think the benefits outweigh any detriment that allowing these areas to go forward.
Thank you. Lorraine Salata.
I too was concerned about the stairs and the setback that they were creating, but looking at it as a whole, we're not changing the footprint of the building. The coverage is still under. There's no additional bedrooms, so I'll support the application.
Thank you. Dan Smith III.
I'm also in favor of the application. I think that Mr. Pearlstein and his family have been long-term owners here, and they, you know, this is a second renovation of a large, you know, beach property that, as Grant said, you know, was a focal point in walking the boardwalk and will remain that. You know, there's a substantial benefit here. The master plan, and I think that there's really nothing to, that I see negative as far as expansion of the property. It's all internal, like everybody else has spoken.
Mike Wiesen.
I do remember the last time, the last two times Mr. Pearlstein presented in front of the board, and this presentation was as good, and I know he took the consideration of his neighbors by them not showing up here tonight. And I can see, looking at the old house, the new house, even though I love the old house, the way it looked and the way he set it up, the new house looks complete and brand new. And I know he's going to do just as good a job with this new addition as he did with the original one, and I am in favor.
Thank you.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I believe that the he's working within the confines of the existing footprint. They're mostly existing nonconformities. He's really not expanding upon those. I think it's benefit to the neighborhood, and there certainly doesn't seem to be any detriment. So nobody's announced to say anything against it, so we'll vote in favor.
Tim Coop.
I'll also vote in favor. I think it's a big expansion, but it was done very creatively, so the changes are really all, as we said, internal and done very well. I don't see any real negatives to vote against, so I'm for it.
Greer Gaskell.
I also vote yes. I believe there's no representation will be no detriment to the neighborhood, and there will be even more space and sleep to the neighborhood.
Your application is approved. Congratulations.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, with the next application being a D1 variance, I'm going to recuse myself.
Yeah. Mayor and the Commissioner are...
Mike Wiesen also is recusing himself. Yeah.
And myself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. See you, Mike.
You always cut out on this.
I am going to the bathroom.
I don't know. I've been through a couple of ringers.
Seven.
But
it'll be so.
Yep. Quitters.
Have a good night. Give it the toast as you pour that coffee.
We do have
stuff. I have to say, I was instructed to pour a coffee.
Right. And Mike's leaving. Everybody's leaving. What's going on?
We really slimmed down.
We want to start with is that. I don't care. You tell me. How do you, whatever you prefer.
Right. Oh yeah. I think it's, yeah. Before you begin, the right side of the table here is pretty stacked, so you have to speak to them.
Hopefully the building will hold up with the right side.
All right. Maybe we got to move this then.
Where you're the lone guy.
There's plenty of wire.
You're the lone guy at that end of the table.
I'm with you.
You're the lone guy.
Yeah.
If you're ready, I'll let
you. We're ready.
Okay, the next application is New Heights VC LLC, 11 North Dorset Avenue.
Mr.
Chairman, members of the board, professionals, good evening. Scott Abbott, I'm here on behalf of the application. It's New Heights VC LLC. The property is at 111 North Dorset Avenue. The application for this property initially was considered by this board back in October, where they only wanted to do a duplex, and that was denied. And then, as I understand it, I wasn't involved with it. Board has a subcommittee that you met with the applicant and reviewed the plans and suggested certain changes, which they have done. And so tonight we have one of our principals, Ralph Pappas. He's one of the principals of the applicant, LLC. We have our architect, Andrew Bechtold. Andrew will be doing most of our testimony. And what we have here is we have a situation where we want to replace a fire-damaged, old, dilapidated building. This used to be Frank's. When I was a kid, it was Frank's sub shop. Used to eat subs and sit at that little window there with the jukebox. For a buck, you get a half a cheesesteak, a soda, and a blueberry pie from Tasty. It's a long, long time ago.
The backstory.
So, and I know the building well. I knew the kid that lived there. But anyhow,
before
we're here tonight with a brand new
one. Have your presenters.
What's this?
Sworn in. You have your presenters.
We're going to have them sworn in. We'll swear you guys in. Let's swear both of them.
All right. Mr. Bechtold and Ralph, just state your name and address, and I'll get you sworn in together.
Andrew Bechtold, 599 Shore Road, Summers Point, New Jersey, 08244.
Ralph Pappas, Absecon, New Jersey, 1 West Colorado Avenue.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Each swear the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth.
I do.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And Mr. Bechtold's been here several times. We'll
yes.
accept his credentials.
Yes.
We're good to go then. We're going to start with Andrew. Why don't we give the board an overview and we'll warm you up.
Sure. As stated before, we came in before with just a two-family residence. That was not received well by the neighborhood. We have now revised the design to create an almost wholly conforming size structure. The use is still a variance because this is a mixed use. It is two units over a commercial space. Currently, the building is a commercial space out in front of a unit and a unit above that. So it's conceivably the same project from what's there. What's there now is a commercial space with two residential units. We're proposing a commercial space with two residential units. The existing commercial space that's currently there is approximately 400 square feet. It's basically just the front end of the structure. Most of the rest of it behind that is residential. What we've done is created an actual viable commercial space. This commercial space is approximately three times plus larger than the existing commercial space. We're proposing over 1,400 square foot of commercial space on the ground level. And then we're creating two residential units, two three-bedroom, three-bathroom units above. This necessitates parking of two parking spaces per residential unit, which we've added, and I'll flip that page in a moment. One of the variances is actually for height. We believe that variance is required because we're actually doing a commercial height space that we believe is the proper height. A lot of towns, they have a minimum requirement height for commercial space, the interior height. Normally that's about 10 feet. In this design, we did actually 12 feet of height. So it is 12 feet tall. We could reduce height by reducing the height of the commercial space, but we think this is more in the flavor of a commercial building. And if the town really wants commercial here, let's give them what we can give them. That gives them space to run ductwork for HVAC. If you want to go industrial, it gives them room to run any kind of ductwork for any kind of ventilation system. We've designed the building in such a way that it can be used for pretty much everything. We've designed a chase that goes up through the structure to allow for venting out through the top. We have a modest little walk-up because if that happens, if you have a ventilation hood, it needs to be serviced by an easy way. It just can't be a ladder on the side of a building. You actually have to be able to walk up there. And there's strictly just enough space for a walkway to get up there so a maintenance person could clean that if a tenant that serves food should happen to move in here. We're proposing the chase. We're not necessarily proposing the ventilation system, but it could be accommodated.
We do not have a tenant.
We do not have a tenant, yet. But by being a larger square footage, having taller ceiling space, and having all these other substructures in place, it allows you to have multiple choices for tenants instead of just some very low ceiling thing that, you know, a chef can't get a good sized kitchen in or get the proper ventilation and run all the things. So we're trying to cover all the bases with the commercial design. As far as the site plan is concerned, the site plan is set up pretty much how the existing site sits. Currently on the west side, the building is actually touching the property line. We are bringing that entire side, west side, into conformance. We're doing a 4-foot setback on that side. The east side on the existing structure is approximately 22 feet. Our side yard setback will actually be 24 feet on that east side.